Hi, this is Winston Wu of Happier Abroad. Today I'm going to do my first podcast, and it'll be with a longtime friend of mine named Rock. On my forum, he goes by the name Rock, and he's given a lot of good advice to people about living and dating in Asia and expat life in general in Asia. And he's a very knowledgeable and experienced person with a lot of good advice and wisdom, and we're here hanging out at my house in Las Vegas, and I thought, you know, this would be a great chance to interview him, so we could post it and share some of his advice and wisdom to everyone, and also so you could get acquainted with his voice and his personality as well, since he's a very valuable person to learn from, and a very down-to-earth, knowledgeable guy too. Anyways, Rock is an expat who has been living in Asia for many years. He started living in Taiwan, and then he traveled around Asia, and now travels to the Philippines a lot to do business and to have fun, and so that's basically his background. And he's an American expat, so he grew up in America as well. So anyways, that's the basic rundown on him, and so we'll ask him some general questions and introduce him. So Rock, I'd like to welcome you to the my first Happier Abroad podcast, and why don't you say a little bit about yourself and how you came to go to Asia?
I think in high school and even in university, I never really fit in very well. I mean, not only did I not have dates, but I didn't even have many male friends, and I was pretty introverted. I would say that I'm even, you know, more introverted than you are, because I'm less interested in social interaction than you are. However, I'm people who are on your forum now. I never really thought the problem was America. I thought the problem had me. However, I also dreamed that there was some place in the world where somebody like me might fit in better. So at a certain point while I was in university, I'd say my second year, I got the chance to take a trip. You know, I started encountering foreigners for the first time when I was in university, because in my high school, we really didn't have foreigners. It was almost all white people. In university, I was meeting people from Asia, and they kept telling me, hey, you're going to love it in, say, in Taiwan or in China or Thailand. You're going to love, you know, you're going to have so much fun there, and you can support yourself teaching English. And I also even thought about going to France. I had a French roommate, and it was the same story. Hey, you're going to have a great time over there. So I thought about it, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll fit in over there. So I almost went to France, but I chickened out because of the language. But the next time I had a chance was to go, to go to Taiwan, and I went for that. And sure enough, as soon as I arrived in Taiwan, the first thing I noticed was, in America, I always imagined people were laughing at me or they were making jokes behind my back. I just had this feeling that there was something wrong with me. But when I went to Taiwan, I felt like everybody was very welcoming, and they were curious about me, and they weren't laughing at me. They took me seriously. That was the first difference I noticed. Maybe it was all in my head, but I decided to stay longer than I had initially planned. And what was really great was when I started figuring out I could date there. I could get dates. Like, women were keen to go out with me, and they took me seriously. And that was just like, it was a watershed moment for me. That was when I decided that as soon as I finished my school, I'm definitely going to come overseas and pursue my career somewhere else besides America, because in America I'm not happy. However, you know, even at that stage, I don't like to complain about America. I don't like to put down America. I just don't think I fit in. Some people fit into America, I don't. And I never have, and you know, to this day I don't. I like some things about America, but in terms of the social dynamics and dating, making friends, there are much better countries for me, someone like me. And I think a lot of us on the forum are kind of in the same boat one way or another way. We're introverted, we're deeper thinkers. We see past the superficial, and we don't just you know, we don't just try to fit in socially on this very superficial plane where everybody's always happy, politically correct. No, I mean, you know, if you want to go beyond that, there are much better places in the world, whether it be in Europe, Latin America, or Asia. There's so many choices.
Definitely. And, you know, one thing I noticed when I first went to Asia and started going overseas is that you can be yourself because people are more authentic and more down to earth, and the cultures are more authentic. Because in America, I mean, ever since high school, it seems like there's this phony culture that you have to fit into. And the only way you can fit into a phony, fake culture is to act phony and fake yourself. And people who are deep thinkers like us, or who are very down to earth, don't like to act very phony and fake in order to fit in. And that's just gotten worse and worse. And it starts in high school and it carries on over to the adult world. And if you don't act really artificial and phony and fake, you're not going to make a lot of friends and you're not going to get dates because you're not fitting into the culture. So when you're overseas, you feel liberated because you can be yourself, you can act authentic, down to earth, and you can make friends and get dates, and you don't feel as bad about yourself. So that's one of the most liberating things. So we totally relate to that on that level. So what was Taiwan like? I mean, what are the major cultural differences you noticed when you first went there, and were they advantageous to you, the cultural differences? And
well, the first thing I noticed about Taiwan is, you know, it's obviously it's going to be less varied and a lot more narrow than the U.S. is, because it's not nearly as multicultural, so everybody's the same. I mean, when I say they're the same, I mean the difference between people is much less there. And another thing I noticed about Taiwan was that people just aren't into being sarcastic and putting others down as much. I mean, socially, I just felt a lot more at ease there. I didn't feel like people were laughing at me. I also felt that some people liked me because, you know, I'm obviously a little bit more different there. I'm exotic. Some people like my blue eyes. Some people, you know, they like my white skin, whatever. I mean, it's just I'm a little bit different there. And sometimes different works, sometimes different helps. And there's always going to be a subset of people who are interested in foreigners in a place like Taiwan. So, like I said, it definitely was great for my dating life. And also, there's always some people who want to be your friend, too. Now, sometimes that's kind of annoying, like if they're just trying to practice their English or something. But generally, people are nice, people are sincere. And I was dating a lot of girls who I considered very attractive. Whereas in the States, I virtually had no dating life. I had one girl I dated a few months in high school, and that's it. And that was really a fluke. Basically, in America, if I'd stayed in America, I probably would have gotten lucky eventually and met a girl who was like average looking. And I would have been so desperate, I probably would have tried to marry her for that reason, because this is all I'm ever going to get. But when I went to Taiwan, I mean, at that time, it was very easy to date as a foreigner. Now, I will say that was then, this is now, things have changed. We're talking about a decade plus ago. The internet and Facebook have made people more aware. And I think nowadays women are not going to be as easy for someone like, you know, me as they were back then. But still, it's going to be a lot easier than the US. And certain guys, especially guys who don't fit, like there's a certain kind of guy who does well in America. And if you're not that kind of guy, but you're decent looking and there's nothing wrong with you, I think you can go to a place like Taiwan. And if you try, I have a friend I'm coaching on this, and he's doing okay. He's meeting girls, he's dating girls. Of course, he's getting rejections, but he's happy there. And if you're like this kind of guy, you go to Taiwan, you might, you know, you're definitely going to be able to date women who are better looking than what you can get in the U.S., who are friendlier and, you know, are better girlfriend material. So I think that Taiwan, even though, you know, there's certain people on the forum that say it's terrible, I will say this in Taiwan's favor. In Northeast Asia, Taiwan's probably, at least developed Northeast Asia, it's going to be the best country. People are less xenophobic than they are in Korea, than they are in Japan, than they are in Hong Kong, or probably even Singapore. Now, China, it's harder to compare China and Taiwan because China's still huge, and it's got all kinds of different areas depending on whether you go to Shanghai, you go to Shenzhen, you go to some place like, you know, some place that's a second tier or third tier city. There's a lot of different types of experiences in China. China is very different than Taiwan. It's harder to compare it because, you know, Taiwan's a small country. But I will say that of developed Northeast Asia, Taiwan's probably the best place for a foreigner anyway. That's my opinion. That's my experience. But, you know, nowadays, you know, happier abroad is a concept, and it's a fluid concept. Maybe now a certain country is the best country to go for to for a person, you know, the forgiven person. 5 years from now, it might be a different. It might be instead of that country, it's another country. Now I'm going to the Philippines. I'm spending time in the Philippines. I've changed. Taiwan's changed. And the Philippines has changed. And now I'm happier in the Philippines than I am in Taiwan. But 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. I think my broader point is that whoever you are, if you're not happy in America, if you fit into the box that Winston described, you feel out of place. The world's such a big place. There's so many countries. If you do your research and you figure out a way to make a living, there's places you can go to be so happy. I mean, it's not just Asia. Latin America's full of treasures. You know, I went to Colombia, I had a great time there. I went to Brazil, I had a great time there. And I've even been to Africa. And, you know, all of these places offer experiences and things that I could never have in America, never. The thing I like about America is it's clean, it's orderly, it's safe. Well, depending on where you go, it's America has its pluses. And I don't want to be just saying America's bad. But for someone like me, I'm just happier living in certain other countries. And maybe someday I'll move back here. Who knows? You know, if I get married, maybe, you know, I might want to come back here someday. But right now I'm still happier in Asia, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've noticed one thing about Asia is, I mean, people are just so humble there. I mean, people are not arrogant. They don't brag like in America. Yeah. They don't put up this phony personality like they have to be act cool or like a big shot. And they're just more down to earth. And you know, that's true of Asia in general.
You and I, we went to this club in Taichung and we were talking to a lot of the young people. You were talking to this young guy and he was giving you advice on dating girls and he was a totally nice guy, right? In America, he'd probably be laughing at you, you know, who are you? You know, you don't fit in, you don't belong here. But this guy was just totally accepting. I think that even in Taiwan, which, you know, is, you've said is cliquish and people have these ice barriers. I think in Taiwan, it's more fear. It's more about being apprehensive of strangers. So there are walls to overcome. But in America, you kind of feel like people are looking down at you, like they think you're not good enough or something because you're not acting a certain way. You're not acting hip. You're not acting cool. You're acting square. You know, I never felt, no matter what my age was, I never felt like I fit into the youth culture. When I was 16, I didn't feel like I fit in. When I was 20, I didn't feel like I fit in. But when I went to Asia, it was totally a different feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, I went to the Dominican Republic and we met some Venezuelan baseball players. We hung out with those guys and they were cool. I mean, these were young guys. These were like late teens, early 20s. And they're so inclusive. The social vibe is so inclusive. And, you know, if you're into that, if you're somebody who wants to hang out and have fun with people, there's so many great options where you can go and feel like you're part of the gang, part of the crowd. America, I guess, you know, I was never able to find that in America. I always felt like the odd man out.
Yeah.
And I think you did too. And I think certain other guys on the forum felt that way too. But I've been very happy living overseas. And I really feel lucky that I discovered the secret so early, well before you started your website. And, you know, I want to say to guys today, I understand that guys coming out of school today, they're in a tougher boat. The economy's tougher. But the very minimum, if you're a native English speaker, you can always find an English teaching work in places like China, in Taiwan. Even in Thailand, you can make a living doing that. And there's other certain countries. I mean, I don't think there's any excuse to say that you can't do it. There's where there's a will, there's a way. You just have to really spend some time researching it and finding a way. We've got great resources on the forum. Ladislav knows so much if you just talk to him. He can guide you to opportunities in the Middle East. He can guide you to opportunities teaching English online. And I can tell you from my own experience, you know, I have extra rooms in Taiwan. I rent them out. Just a few months ago, I had a couple, an American guy and an Asian British girl who came to my place. They were looking for work in Taiwan. Within 2 weeks, they both had jobs making over $2,000 a month, working Monday to Friday, like 35 hours a week. And this jobs had benefits. They were English teachers. $2,000 plus a month. And wow. The living cost in Taiwan isn't that high. In Taipei, they can easily live for under $1,000 each. So they could save $1,000 a month doing that. You see how easy it is. And they didn't have to get the jobs online. So I just think that it's a lot easier than people imagine. I see so much complaining and griping on the forum about people who've been doing this for over a year or 2 years in America, sitting in America, complaining, but they never focus on the solution. I think, I don't want to bash America. I mean, America's great for some people. America's great for some things. But if you don't like it, just go somewhere else. I mean, you don't have to stay. What's keeping you? Can't afford a plane ticket? You know, you can't save $5,000, $10,000. That's all it takes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is important because people need to know that there are options outside the U.S. for people who are not happy or who are misfits in America. And this is not well known because most mainstream people in America, including the media, will tell you that if you're not happy in America, then it's your fault. You should blame yourself and work on yourself and try to change yourself so that you can fit in. And that's easier said than done. It doesn't always work for everyone because some people just don't fit in America, but that's not acknowledged because there's this assumption, this false assumption that everyone fits in America and that if they don't, then the problem must be them. They don't know that they have options overseas because it's just not talked about because there's this assumption that America's the world, and if you don't fit in America, then you don't fit into the world. And that's a major fallacy because there are so many lonely, desperate guys out there that some could even be suicidal and some could be on the verge of wanting to do mass shootings like Elliot Rodgers did. And they need to know this kind of thing, that there are happier, better options overseas. And it's a pity that it's just not promoted or discussed.
You know,
and so we're fortunate about
talking about Elliot Rodgers. Uh-huh. I think that I'm not sure. This is just an assumption, but I'm thinking the problem. One of the big problems with him was he put himself in a box that was way too narrow. He thought the only women who were worth dating were the Southern California white girls. I mean, Elliot Rodgers is a man who had means. He could have traveled, and he did travel. I don't know why he never thought about, well, if I can't get these bimbos on the beaches in Southern California, what about the girls in Europe? What about the girls, especially Eastern Europe, where they do have blondes? What about Latin America? What about Brazil? He was a good-looking guy. He was intelligent. This guy could have cleaned up in other countries. He had no reason not to. The problem was all in his head. It was all in his head. And I just wonder how many people fit that. How many people don't even realize that their solution, it's right there if they would just think out of the box a little bit. I mean, the internet, all the information's there. I just don't understand. I almost think people prefer to live in negativity. They prefer to be miserable. They prefer to complain. They don't really want a solution because if they did, especially somebody who's like Elliot Rodgers, who doesn't have any problems at all. He has money. He's decent looking. He's smart. I mean, there's no reason why he should have done what he did. I really felt sad when I read, you know, all the things he did. I think he was really sick in the head. And I think that maybe that's what happens in America. People lose their minds. But I mean, here, you've got a resource. You're unhappier abroad. There's some great guys on the website. And they're all willing to help you. And they're not trying to, nobody on the website's trying to get your money. Nobody wants your money. They're just giving you free advice, you know? And maybe you don't fit in Asia. maybe you're the kind of guy who should go to the Dominican Republic. Maybe you should go to Brazil. We have a guy who's went to Brazil, right? And he's doing really well, according to what Steve Neese said and according to his photos.
Yeah, a number of guys have gone to Brazil and said it was amazing. I mean, that the girls were so open and social, and they like men. They're positive toward men.
Look,
and
I want to add something to that. I've been to Brazil, okay? And look, I don't want to paint an unrealistic picture. It's not like you're going to go to Brazil and the women are going to throw themselves at you. No. In fact, some guys won't even fit in there at all. When I went to Brazil, I was able to date, but I had to work at it. And I got rejections in Brazil. I don't speak Portuguese that well. I mean, my Portuguese is very bad, however, I did meet three girls there, and they were definitely out of my league. I mean, in my book, they were at least eights, at least two of them. And these are girls I couldn't have talked to in America. I mean, they were just, you know, so, okay, I got some rejections, but with some work, I was able to meet some amazing women there. And, you know, once a woman, if a woman in Brazil likes you, you know, she treats you very well. She's very affectionate. There are no hang-ups about sex. I mean, but, you know, it's not like any guy can just go there. I mean, if you're not the right type, you know, it's like Winston talks about Russia. You know, Winston says that, you know, maybe the girls in Russia aren't into Asian guys so much. So while people were very approachable, they weren't so interested in him physically. Fine. A guy like Winston could go to Thailand, where Ladislav says the women much prefer Northeast Asian guys over white guys. So if, say, Winston and I went to Bangkok and we wanted to meet mid or high SO Thais, maybe they're going to like him a lot more than they like me, because I'm the white guy, but he's the Northeast Asian. And they're going to consider him to be closer to the racial stereotype. He's going to be the kind of guy that they're more interested in dating seriously than me, because I have the Farang stigma. I have the stigma of being a white guy. But that's the point. There's a place for most, if not all, guys. You just have to find it. And it's not just about where they're going to like you. It's also about where you're going to feel comfortable. I really think recently there's been too much negativity on the forum about people just complaining. I mean, I understand that people want to vent, but you have to get beyond that. You have to, you know, you have to live your life, because life's too short to spend it all venting and being bitter and being scarred.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you some bad news, guys. If you don't act now, you know, maybe the opportunity won't be there in time. Like I said, Taiwan's changed. It's not as good as it used to be. What about the Philippines? The Philippines is still fantastic, but I don't know what the Philippines will be like in 5 or 10 years. I mean, people there are getting, they're getting more prosperous. People are online. You know, feminism is making its way into the country, I think. So maybe in 10 years it won't be a very fun place anymore. I don't know. But I'm just saying that it behooves you to act earlier rather than later, and to stop complaining and just focus on solutions. I don't mean to preach, but that's what I really think people need to spend a lot more time doing. I mean, no offense to people like Steve Hawke, but I really think they spend way too much time focusing on the wrong things. I'm a living example of how somebody could find their life overseas, a much better life. It's not just socially, you know, it worked for me financially too. I got much better work overseas than I could have ever gotten in America, because, you know, there's opportunities overseas. The Philippines now, believe it or not, the Philippines has opportunities to make money, because it's growing economically. So much is going on there. You've got Koreans and Chinese coming in investing money. You've got the BPO industry now, the biggest one in the world. You've got a lot of opportunities in the real estate sector, because a lot of Filipinos are sending their money back and investing in real estate. I think you can even get a job as a call center person as a foreigner. I think Mr. S has talked about this. And if you're entrepreneurial, you can even set up a kind of business related to that. So there's more than just teaching English. Yeah, there's a lot more than just teaching English.
Definitely. And
I mean, look at Winston. Uh-huh. I mean, Winston made his his money online. And I and look, online's not going to work for everybody. You know, like people like me, we're not good enough at the computer. But you know, everybody has their skills and their niche. It could be
right.
computers. It could be English teaching. It could be real estate. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to find your niche, you know, and if all else fails, you can just teach English, you know. At least, you know, even if you don't like teaching English, I mean, it's a fairly easy job, and at least you'll be happy overseas where the social environment is not as paranoid and where you can meet girls. Because, you know, it seems like in America, every girl claims to have a boyfriend or they're taken, and most of the time they're telling the truth, but sometimes they'll just say that because they're not into you, and so they just want to ward you off. But it's like in America, every girl has a boyfriend or a husband, and they don't talk to strangers. So it's like in America, you're between a rock and a hard place. You know, if you're graduated from high school or college, you don't have any choices because everyone is taken after that, and there's no real dating scene or social scene, and people go into their own shells and they don't talk to their neighbors, they don't talk to strangers, and so you know you really don't go out and meet people in America, and that's one of the biggest problems is the social scene and the dating scene just, you know, is at a dead end in America. And whereas if you go overseas, there's still like the Philippines, for instance, there's still a lot of single women that are looking and that don't have a boyfriend and that will go out with you. And that's the biggest difference for me, is that you can meet women and talk to them and start conversations, and they're not as paranoid, and there's so many single women everywhere. And the biggest difference for me is that an attractive woman in America is almost never down to earth. I mean, you're not going to find a good-looking, hot girl in the U.S. that's down to earth and humble and easy to talk to. That, you know, that might have been true you might have been able to find that a long time ago, but in the U.S., that you just don't find that anymore. Whereas you go to Philippines, Thailand, Russia, South America, Eastern Europe, you can still find very attractive women that are down to earth and humble and modest and easy to talk to and connect with. And that's probably the greatest difference between, let's say, America and Russia. It's not the biggest difference between America and Russia is not between communism and capitalism. It's that the women are so friendly and approachable and down to earth in Russia, whereas in America they're not. And I wish the media would talk about that, because this is important. You know, men, single men that want to date women need to know this. So that's a good point. And you have a good point about there being so much negativity on the forum. And even with some of our allies like Steve Hoka, who did a lot of great interviews for us. I mean, the sad thing is that people are just addicted to negativity. It's like once they're negative about America or they become addicted to unhappiness and anger, and that addiction needs to be fed. And once it becomes a part of you, it needs to be fed like an organism.
Yeah.
And so people constantly prefer to be unhappy rather than happy because they're addicted to being unhappy. And that's a really sad and tragic thing. I mean...
Let me speak on another point that people like to say, especially about a country like the Philippines. Okay.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you mention the Philippines, the first thing people are going to say is that you can date women there because women want your money, okay? And
uh-huh.
That's a very valid point. I understand that. But, you know, if you're really good at filtering, I can tell you that there's something more. There's a lot more to what's in the Philippines than people just looking for money. Because, you know, I've tried myself to focus on, like, middle-class girls who aren't, and what I mean is girls who aren't motivated by money, who aren't desperate. You know, girls who have their own salaries or who have their own assets. In some cases, they have their houses, they have cars. And guess what? Even those girls are totally different than what I've encountered in the U.S. and even in Northeast Asia, where things have, like, gotten more developed. You can find girls in these countries we're talking about who like you for other reasons besides material reasons. You just have to turn your own senses on it and be able to distinguish, because yeah, there's plenty of gold diggers and there's plenty of girls who are going to latch on to you because they want something from you. But, and I don't know about Russia, but in the Philippines at least, and even in Latin America, they're very easy to tell. They're very obvious. I know within one or two meetings if a girl's motivated for those reasons. And personally, I'm not really interested in girls who are just trying to use me for money. And I always distance myself from them. I focus on women who are generous and giving. Yes, people who are generous and giving. There are people who give more than they take. And those are gems. And you meet those kinds of men. Philippines have plenty of girls like that, where they'll give of themselves without taking. I mean, when you meet girls like that, yeah, other people might say, oh, yeah, she just wants your money. No, it's not the case. What if you're not giving her any money? What if she knows you're never going to give her money? I mean, what if she has her own money? What if she has a house? What if she has a car? I mean, the girl you were speaking to today, mm-hmm. she owns 3 condos in Ortigas. She has a brand new car. Well, it's 1 year old. Do you think she needs money? She makes 90,000 pesos a month. Do you think she needs money?
No.
Yeah. Do you think she's talking to you or talking to me for money? No. I mean, there's plenty of girls like that. You just have to find them. And the guys, some of the guys on the forum who've been married, I mean, some girls in the Philippines are really very generous, very giving, and they're just good human beings. What's wrong with that? Yeah, people in America will see you together, and if she's more beautiful than you are, maybe you're just average looking and she's better than average, or say she's much younger than you, they're going to say things like that. Just don't care about them, because you know the truth. And that's what matters, right? There's guys on the forum who are saying that kind of stuff too, that the women are only motivated for material reasons. Well, my answer to that is you have to pick and choose. You have to cherry pick. You've got to avoid the ones who are with you for the wrong reasons, unless you're happy with that. If you want to be a sugar daddy, fine. Some people are happy. I personally, you know, I don't like the sugar daddy role, because I find that those kinds of girls are takers, and I don't want to be with a taker, right?
Right, right.
And you too. I mean, you're not a sugar daddy, right?
No, I like to be frugal, you know, and
yeah.
That part of my Chinese background is being frugal and,
yeah.
and efficient with money.
But guess what? All you guys have to do is to spend time. I mean, you have to go through more. You have to. It's not just like you're going to get off the airplane or you're going to go online and bam. No, you've got to pick and choose. But the problem is guys will meet 1 or 2 or 3 bad girls, and then they'll write everything off. Like that guy, New Life in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's missing. I mean, I offered to meet with this guy. I was in Cebu a couple weeks ago, and I PM'd the guy and I said, hey, I'll meet up with you. You know, let's exchange notes. He says, no, I can't. I'm too busy with this girl that, you know, she has me on lockdown. Fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also very negative, and I don't think he wants to open up his mind. He thinks that all he can get is a single mother. You know, he's got a very negative attitude on, and I think that he's really wrong. But if you don't open up your mind, how can you find any better alternatives, right?
Yeah, you got to open up your mind and you
and
know
at least
and
think of, you know, try, right?
Yeah. And if you really do have a bad personality, I mean, of course, that's something you got to work on, because some guys do have bad personalities. So, you know, of course, in that case, they would need to work on it and, you know, become a decent guy, you know, of course, too.
Last year, I met a girl, and I think she's, I mean, by my standards anyway, she's tall, fairly slim. She's like 5'7", 19 years old. And she's a very nice girl. Very, you know, my opinion, she's at least a 7, if not an 8. And I've been, you know, her Facebook friend, and, you know, she's dating this guy who must be at least 30 years older than her. And fast forward to today, she has a baby, and she's always putting the baby online on the Facebook and talking about how happy she is. And I see her much older boyfriend. I don't know if they're married or not, but I mean, where else could you do that with the Philippines, you know? And she seems to genuinely love the guy. And she's very happy with her child, and it's her first child. She never had a child before. He got this very fresh, young, very beautiful, in my opinion, Filipina girl. I mean, come on. This same guy in America probably wouldn't even be able to get, like, a grandma, you know. And here he is in the Philippines, you know, living the life. Now, I will say that, in my opinion, a lot of white guys, they settle for women who I personally don't find very attractive. But that's their prerogative. If they're happy, fine. This guy was an exception because he's actually someone I do think is really pretty. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, she's almost perfect. But my point is that whatever you like, within bounds, of course, you know, you can definitely find it in the Philippines, or if not the Philippines, maybe Eastern Europe, maybe Russia, maybe Latin America. It kind of depends on your taste, what kind of personality you like, what kind of look you like. But happier abroad is something that, you know, it takes a lot of work, but it's doable. Trying to make it work in America for a lot of guys like us, impossible. You know, I don't think I could have really done much here. I don't think you could have. I don't think Moncro could have. But I want to hear more success stories. I want to read more success stories. I want to see more trip reports. And, you know, drop the put downs, drop the negativity. Because happier abroad should be about solutions, and that's where we should put our energy. I don't care about America. I mean, America, I don't live in America. I come here to visit my parents and to escape Asia once in a while. I just hope that the American poison doesn't spread all over the world. That's my biggest concern. That through the internet, through Facebook, through smartphones, through consumerism, through the TV, that it's kind of spreading, that young people are latching onto it. And that's the biggest concern I have, that maybe in 20 years, for example, the happier abroad solution won't be as viable as it is today, because many parts of the world will have become more poisoned by this, what we call bad culture. But it's not like that yet, so you really should enjoy it while it's there.
Definitely, because,
you
know, yeah.
I mean, you, me, everybody.
Yeah.
Winston needs to get to China, because I think China might be a great country for someone like Winston.
Yeah, I've been wanting to go to China for a long time, and I've heard so many good things about it, and the women just look so beautiful there, and feminine, and just so, you know.
You know, remember, you know, you might go to one place in China, and you might say it's just like Taiwan, and then you'll go somewhere else, and you're like, oh, this is paradise. You know, places that Falcon have been versus, you know, Shanghai's got a pretty... He's got a lot of problems, like Taiwan or Beijing. Or, you know, like Z-Boy talks about Shenzhen versus, or was it Z-Boy or was it Shoumao? They talk about Shenzhen versus Guangzhou, you know. They're being very different cities.
Yeah. But either way, I mean, at least you have choices. It's not like America where you're just shut out of the dating scene completely.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of days ago, we were talking to like two or three of your Chinese girls, right? And they all seem very down to earth.
Yeah, and sweet and feminine. I mean... women just have a much more positive view of men overseas. And you made a good point that, you know, not all women that date Western men are desperate or poor or desperate. You know, there are women that have jobs and that are middle class that will date foreigners too. I mean, it all depends. The bottom line is that, you know, men have more choices overseas. I mean, actual choices. In that, for example, you go to the Philippines... you can date poor girls. You can date, you know, girls that are not so poor. I mean, a man has choices, you know, and you can date gold diggers and girls that are not gold diggers. And same as in Russia, you can find nice girls, good girls, bad girls, gold digging girls, poor girls, educated girls. There's just so many different types of girls. And the bottom line is that you have choices. I mean, you're not shut out of the dating scene completely like in America. And... that's the biggest difference. And another big difference is, like I said, cultures are more down to earth. And for me and Rock, I mean, we're kind of deep thinkers types of people. And Rock made a good point to me when we were having lunch earlier that deep thinkers don't tend to like America because the culture is so phony and artificial that, you know, deep thinkers don't like to be phony and artificial, and everything seems so fake. You know, it's such a consumerist culture that a deep thinker just doesn't fit in. Whereas, you know, a deep thinker will usually prefer Europe because Europe is more of an intellectual culture. So deep thinkers will fit in there, and it's much more down to earth and philosophical. So people who are philosophical or deep will usually enjoy European cultures. I've noticed that pattern too. So, Rock, how would you compare Philippines, Thailand?
I think Ladislav has said this, that every person has a very different experience according to the way that one guy might go to Thailand and love it there and another guy might hate it. Ladislav is kind of the latter. Now for me, if I compare the Philippines to Thailand, I would say Thailand is a much better place for food, for infrastructure, for a lot of things. However, when it comes to the people, I just can't relate to Thai people the way I can to Filipinos. And I think part of it's language, but there's more to it. Because, on my Facebook, I've got a lot of Filipino friends. And every day they're quoting things. Sometimes they're Bible verses. Sometimes they're very positive things. But they're very, down-to-earth, humble, positive people in general. And I really, really appreciate that so much. I'm glad that they're Catholic. I'm not a Catholic myself, but I'm glad that they're Catholic because I think it brings them closer to me value-wise. Now, in Thailand, it seems like the people there are more about the here and now, having a good time today. I've met so many people in Thailand and I've had so many good times, but these people, they tend to like here today, gone tomorrow. They forget fast. So you've had a great experience with a Thai person, but out of sight, out of mind, you're gone. Their life goes on, your life goes on, and a year later, you can't even find them. Thailand's a kind of place to have a good time. But when it comes to deeper relationships for somebody like myself, I'm much happier in the Philippines. I can actually find people in the Philippines who I can have deep conversations with. Yes, there are some very educated, smart, intellectual people in the Philippines. It's not the norm. The Philippines tends to be a place where people are kind of simple. However, the fact that English is such an important language there, when you do find intelligent people, they tend to be able to communicate very well in English, which means that you can find other like-minded people who you can bond and connect with. And that really means that I can be in the Philippines and not even have expat friends and find good Filipino friends, females, even males, who we can, communicate for hours with and have a great time. When I see people go out on a date and they don't talk to each other, I just think, it just seems so strange. It's just a physical relationship, or they're using each other. That's the problem with Thailand, unless you learn to speak Thai. But then Ladislav says if you learn to speak Thai, you're only going to understand how much people don't like you. However, I want to say one thing in Thailand's favor. In Thailand, there's so many foreigners. You can meet people from all over the world there. You can meet plenty of Russians. You can meet Indians. You can meet lots of Australians, Europeans, New Zealanders. So I would say to some guys, they could go to Thailand and they could meet a lot of other, they could meet foreign girls. They could meet European girls because there's lots of European girls who go there for, maybe for their gap year vacations, or they go there to teach, or they go there just for fun. It's good for that. Better than the Philippines. Thailand probably has 5 times as many visitors per year as the Philippines. So every country has something.
And it has good food too, right?
Yeah. Thailand, in my opinion, Thailand has great food choices.
And value. Yeah.
And value for money. Price-wise, I would say they're pretty similar, but you probably get slightly better value for money in Thailand.
In terms of food, living?
Look, there's no perfect country. If there was a perfect country, I wouldn't need to travel. I would just stay in that country 365 days a year. But after I've been in the Philippines for a while, guess what? I get so tired of the noise. I get so tired of the dirty air. I get so tired of the bad food. So I come to Las Vegas, for example. And guess what? It's quiet here. The food's excellent. It's peaceful. It's like a retreat. And, here Winston is always complaining to me about how unapproachable people are. And I'm telling Winston, but it's okay with me because I'm not here to meet girls. I'm not here to make friends. I'm just here to have some peace and a break from Asia. Because Asia's loud and chaotic and it's congested and it's got bad air. And Vegas is all the opposite. So it's like you could always escape. Or if you're in the Philippines and you want to go somewhere that has better food, just go to Thailand. Or you want to have some fun, go to Thailand. If you want to, You know, if you want to visit some historical sites in China, fine. You know, it's there's some very that's another thing. You know, with some of the discount airliners like Cebu Pacific or AirAsia, you can, if you plan ahead a little bit, you can get some really cheap flights. You can go to China for, you know, less than $100. I mean, you don't have to stay in any one place. There's no perfect country. All you have to do is when you get tired of a place, you just take a break. And then you'll be ready to go back. I already missed the Philippines. I'm already ready to go back. So, you know.
Yeah, so
I've only
am
been
I.
Here, I've only been here 2 or 3 weeks. You are too, you know.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, in Asia, there's so many countries you could go to. If you don't fit into one or if things don't go well, you could try another. And you're almost guaranteed to find one that you like. And same as Europe, too. I mean, there's so many little countries packed together, and it's just so diverse. And if you don't, because every country is different and everyone fits into every country differently. So if one doesn't fit you, you can try another very quickly and easily. But let me ask you this, though. What would you say to a typical guy that wants to go abroad but is worried about money and work and how to make a living overseas and is afraid to quit his job in America? I mean, what can that person do? I mean, what advice would you give him?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think going abroad is the right solution for every guy, okay? For example, if you have a very good job, I mean, if you're making, say, $300,000 a year or more and you're fairly young, I might say to you, okay, don't go abroad now. Save your money. Work and save your money. Try to save up $1 million. Because when you get enough money, when you get enough capital, then what you can do instead of finding a job overseas is to find investment opportunities and live on passive income. You know, money's important. Because the more money you have, the more freedom you have in a way, the less pressure you have to work. So if you're lucky enough to have a good job and make a lot of money, just suffer for a few years. If you're in some kind of a niche where you really can make good money, guess what? That niche isn't going to be there forever. You might not be able to make that money in the future. You might end up poor, and it's no fun being poor. I mean, it really helps to have money. If you have capital, you can invest that capital in condominiums, for example, and make passive rental income, and then you don't even have to teach English. So it depends on, you know, who you are. But if you're just out of school, you can't find a job, or you, all you can do is work in Walmart, or, you know, maybe say make $10-$15 an hour, screw it, man. Just, you're not going to go anywhere that way. You might as well teach English, right? You might as well teach English and perhaps, according to your own skills and interests, develop some kind of opportunities overseas. Personally, I made all of my money overseas. I never had a real job in America. I went overseas. I got part of my education overseas, and I got paid overseas, and that's where I made my capital. So it's not, you know, it's possible. I know guys making really good money in, say, the oil business, in finance, in real estate, or some guys who are entrepreneurial who start certain kinds of or you know, online, people like you, people like Stefan Muth. Am I allowed to say his name? If not, you can edit it out.
Oh,
but I mean,
that's
there's
okay.
There's a friend of Winston's who's done very well with an online business. You know, so it's not a one size fits all. It's a custom solution. It's a tailor-made solution. But the point is that for people like us who aren't happy in America for social reasons, I can't imagine there's not a way to get out of the U.S. if we really want that. You know, there's some caveats. Like I said, if you have a great job, you know, postpone it 3 or 4 years. Make a cool million, you know, because if you have a cool million, you won't have to worry so much, will you?
But what if, you know, a guy wants to teach English, but he has no experience or qualifications?
Well, you know what you can do? I mean, they've got these courses. You can take these, what are they called? These, I think, 2-month courses where you get this teaching certificate or teaching diploma. And with those certificates, you can get jobs in a lot of countries. In China, I don't think you even need you don't need any kind of teaching certificate. You just need a bachelor's degree, and maybe not even that. China has such a high demand for English teachers that you really don't need much in terms of qualifications as long as you're an English teacher. When I went to China, especially the third tier cities, I met people from Kenya, which is a very poor country that happens to speak English, who are in decent English teaching jobs. They had an apartment, they're making, say, $1,000+ a month, and they had, you know, they didn't really have much in the way of expenses. So if those kinds of people can get jobs, why couldn't somebody from a first world country who's white or black, you know, who's a native speaker, it should be very easy for them in a place like China, you know?
Mm-hmm. So basically you can get work teaching English without experience or a degree, but you'd probably just make less money, but it's enough to live on, right?
Okay, if you don't have a degree, you're going to have fewer options, fewer countries. Like, you really can't go to Taiwan and get an English teaching job in a school without a bachelor's degree. That's
a TEFL degree.
No. A bachelor's degree. Like, I could get a job teaching English. I don't have a TEFL degree because I have a bachelor's degree. Fine. To get your work permit, they need a bachelor's degree, but it doesn't have to be related to teaching English. But if, you know, some people, they've only graduated from high school, they haven't graduated from university, those people, maybe they can find a job in China, not in Taiwan, not in Korea, not in Japan, unless you're teaching, like, under the table, you're teaching privates.
Right. Oh, so you don't need a TEFL degree to teach in Taiwan.
No, you don't. Look, those people who got the jobs I told you about, one of them didn't have a TEFL degree. They just had experience teaching in Korea before. You don't need a TEFL degree. Definitely not.
Then why do people get it then?
Well, it means they have more schools will want them. They'll be in higher demand.
And they'll get more pay too.
Well, I told you, those two are making over $2,000 a month, and one of them didn't have a TEFL degree. So I think experience is just as important. And also, once you start teaching English, popularity is very important. If the students like you, if the parents like you. Now, most of the opportunities tend to be in teaching children. There's a lot more opportunities teaching children than there are teaching adults. So if you're good with children, that helps a lot. Because if the kids like you, the parents will like you. You know, if the kids go home and say they really like this teacher, you know, the school's going to want to give them more hours and going to want them more. And by the way, I'm not a teacher. I didn't teach English, but I've talked to people who are in that industry, and I know about it because, you know, I'm a foreigner and I hear a lot about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the Philippines or Thailand? Can you make a living teaching English like that?
In Thailand, you can. You know, okay. I think in Thailand that teachers make about 40,000 baht a month, which is about $1,000, $1,200 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad, but it's not great. I mean, you know, Thailand's not as cheap as it used to be, and you can live on that, but you're not going to have it's not enough, really. I mean, ideally you want more than that.
What about the Philippines?
I think maybe in the call center industry. You know, people like Ava Page have told me that she knows people, foreigners working in the call center industry, but I don't know. I haven't researched it.
Yeah, it's probably not as easy in the Philippines to make a living.
You can't really just be an English... Well, no, I take that back. I think there's some Korean schools, because there's a lot of Koreans who go to the Philippines to learn English.
Oh, yeah, and you can also teach English on Skype. I mean, I think Ladies Love started some threads. He wrote a
Chinese
book about that.
And Russians, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like you can make a living on Skype teaching English to students and then getting paid that way. I mean, I have one of my advisors, Ladies Love, does that, and he wrote a book about it, which you can find on my website or in forum.
But
that's another option.
Look, I mean, nothing's easy. Mm-hmm. If you want something good, you can't just... Like your friend who always leaves the voice messages. That's what I call a dreamer.
Yeah.
She just wants everything to fall into her lap, but she doesn't want to put in the work. She doesn't want to learn web design. She doesn't want to go through the steps she needs to go through. If you want an easy solution, unless you're just very lucky, you're probably not going to find it even by going abroad. I mean, wherever you go, you're going to have to invest time and effort to succeed financially, socially.
Yeah.
Some guys want to pop off the plane and be a rock star, but that's not the way it is for most of us.
Right. Or you could be like my friend Sean, whom you know too. I mean, he works in Taiwan for a couple of months, then he goes to the Philippines for a couple of months, and they're both countries are very close.
Yeah.
So he spends maybe a few months there, a few months working, and then a few months partying and playing in Philippines.
Yeah, I have a friend like that. What he does is he spends 5 months a year teaching in Taiwan, and then he spends the rest of the year in Pattaya, where he lives on his money. and he owns a small condo. You know, the condo, he bought it for, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000. So he doesn't pay rent. And he makes, you know, he makes maybe $2,500 a month teaching English for 5 months a year in Taiwan. And then he lives on, like, when he's in Taiwan, he only spends maybe $500 a month. He lives very frugally. So he's saving like $2,000 a month. And the taxes are very low. So in 7 months, he's 14 grand.
Oh, wow.
He goes to Pattaya and he doesn't pay rent and he just lives on.
So Taiwan is a really good base to have.
It is a great base.
In Asia, yeah.
And guess what? You know, another thing is people, what about if you get sick? What if you have an accident? Well, in Taiwan, medical care is very cheap because it's pretty much subsidized by the government. So operations, mm-hmm. emergency room visits, medications.
Mm-hmm. Even for foreigners?
Yeah, well, I got insurance, but I mean, I've got Taiwanese insurance, which is the national insurance, which I pay. You have that too, actually, and you know it's very cheap. But I think if you're a foreigner and say you have to go to the emergency room, it's very cheap in Taiwan. A lot cheaper than even the Philippines. Because you can visit the emergency room and get treated for $600-$700 NT. We're talking $20-$30.
Wow.
Yeah.
$20 for the emergency room? Yeah. Jeez.
I know. I've been there. I've had times when I have had to go before. And I've also been in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, it's at least it costs $200-$300. So.
Yeah, or even more, but it's still nothing like it is in the U.S. I mean, healthcare costs in the U.S. are outrageous and out of control.
Just to put it in perspective, I think an emergency room visit here is like going to be about $3,000.
You know, for one day or how?
For just one visit, you know, if they treat you, whatever your problem is, it's generally going to cost you like that. I've checked it out a little bit. Now, they've got something called urgent care. But you can't go to urgent care, you know, except during certain hours of the day. You can't go at the middle of the night. And there's a lot of things they can't treat. So, you know, I know about Asia. I've spent more time in Asia than anywhere else. I've spent some time in Latin America. I've traveled to Africa. I lived in the UK for a couple of years. But my area of focus is really more Asia. But, you know, for some guys, you know, we have guys on the forum who live in Eastern Europe, Russia. I don't know if we have any guys. Oh yeah, we've got a couple who are in Brazil, right? Skateboard Stefan and there's a friend.
Oh, are they living there or visiting there?
Skateboard Stefan's living in Salvador. Mm-hmm. I mean, Salvador, Brazil. And the other guy, I guess he's just visited there, but.
Okay, yeah, stories, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some people, Latin America is going to be a paradise. I mean, even for you. Somebody who likes people who are approachable. Guess what? In a lot of Latin American countries, like say Colombia and say Dominican Republic, technically Dominican Republic's in the Caribbean, but it is Latin America. Very approachable. You're sitting on the public cars, mm-hmm. those are like buses with people. You can start talking to the person next to you. Mm-hmm. She might be a hot girl. You can start chatting with her.
And what about your neighbors?
Yeah, you can talk to everybody there. People, I noticed. You know, when I was in Santo Domingo, I noticed that people always talk to each other. It's amazing. It's one of the most extroverted countries in the world. Winston would be in paradise there just for that reason. You know? I mean, all you do is you need to learn Spanish. You know, you got to learn Spanish. But, you know, if you learn Russian, Spanish would be a piece of cake for you.
Yeah, and that's important because in America, it's so easy to get lonely and depressed because people just don't talk to you. They don't talk to strangers. Even your neighbors don't talk
to
you.
In America, if you want people to talk to you, go to a restaurant and the waitress will ask you, well, how's everything? How are we doing over here? You want a refill on that water? You know. How's
everything? It's all business. In America, communication is mostly business. I mean, people only talk when it's business related. Otherwise, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And that's what's really depressing and lonely
America,
about America.
If you want friendly people, pretend you're interested in buying some real estate and the real estate agent will be very friendly to you. Or pretend you're interested in buying some insurance and the life insurance agent will be very friendly to you. But if there's no incentive to talk to you, guess what? They're too busy. Gotta go. That was very interesting. Let's talk next time. I've gotta run an errand now. That's the life in America. You've gotta be pretty much live in your own little bubble here.
Yeah, or have some clique, you know, which is not easy to break into, which is not easy to get. A clique.
Yeah, I'm talking about odd people out like us.
Yeah.
You know, some people fit in here. And for them, fine, God bless you. You know, stay in America, enjoy your life. But, and I'm not here to complain about America. It's got, there's some great things here. I wouldn't be here otherwise, you know, visiting.
Yeah, it has good things. America also has beautiful nature, national parks.
It has wonderful nature.
Yeah, clean air.
Clean air, beautiful, cheap houses.
A lot of consumer choices, too.
This is a consumption paradise. I mean, I don't know any place in the world that has better, has more choices, value for money, for shopping than this country, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, you know, Ladislav says this. He says the ideal situation is to be from a first world country, you know, to have a passport, but to live overseas and maybe to put your assets in a third country. So you always have the option to come back. I mean, I wouldn't want to be from a poor country. I'm glad I have the option to come to America sometimes. I'm glad I can come here and shop or maybe travel and enjoy the nature, enjoy the clean air. I'm happy. I mean, so I don't want to complain about America. But when I've had enough and when I start to get lonely, then I'm ready to go and I go. And I go somewhere else where people are more engaging. People are more inclusive. And maybe where I can date or have a girlfriend. You know?
Right, and Ladislav always says that, you know, you don't go to the desert to find water. I mean, each country has its benefits, its pluses and minuses, and you don't go to America for romance or social life. You go there to make money.
Yeah.
You know?
If I needed to make money and I didn't have any other options, I suppose I could come here and do something. I mean, you know, people with skills say, if you have, look at Sheng Mao. He's back in the UK now. He has computer skills. He's making a very good living. You know, he's saving his money. Maybe he'll go abroad again. But for someone like him, he would not be able to do that in the Philippines because they're not going to pay him for that there. I mean, people go to the Philippines to get cheap labor, not to find an expensive expat like him.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this great? I mean, I'm really positive and happy that I discovered this Happier Abroad movement. You know, because it's a place for a lot of like minds. The only thing that discourages me is that sometimes people get in a rut and they just want to complain about American women instead of just ignoring them and voting with their feet. You know, I've never hated American women. I left a long time ago, and for me, American women are not on my radar screen. They're invisible. The only thing I worry about is, like I said before, is that American women exporting their values or coming overseas. When I see American women in for the Philippines or Thailand, that's when I start to kind of worry.
Right.
And you know what? If you go to Thailand now, you do see a fair number of white girls, Anglo girls, girls from the UK, girls from Australia. And that's disheartening, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, they're just tourists though, right?
They are, but some of them come there to spread feminism or to spread, like, some of them actually have agendas, you know. Unfortunately, there are, or, you know, some of them are religious people. I mean, guys, there's a lot of great places. Go there while you can. They're not always going to be there, you know. Don't sit home and complain.
Right. Yeah, that's the most important lesson. What would you say about, I mean, what do you think about teaching English in like China or Japan or Vietnam or something? Are those good places too?
Well, I've heard that Vietnam is like, it's changing fast, and now there's actually opportunities to teach English there. 5 years ago, probably wouldn't have been doable, but now Vietnam is moving up so fast economically. I think you can actually survive there teaching English. And Vietnam is a very cheap country from what I, you know, it's a very cheap place to stay. China? Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that. China's a fantastic place to teach English. That's what Z-Boy One's doing, or was doing. And what was the other place you mentioned?
Japan.
Yeah, I think Japan was probably a great place 10 years ago. I don't know about now. However, you know, after they had that disaster, maybe it scared away a lot of the teachers. But I always think of Japan as a dying place. It's a kind of place that I don't know why someone would want to go there now. Because
the cost of living is really high there, isn't it?
The cost of living is insanely high. It's insanely high. I mean, and you know, they've talked about how a lot of Japanese women today aren't even interested in dating.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Japan's got a lot of old people now. I mean, I think Japan is a would have been a great country to go to 30 years ago. Nowadays, you would have to have this kind of special interest in Japanese culture, in seeing the things that are there. Otherwise, I think as a social environment, it's not a good place to go anymore. I personally tend to like to go to countries that are up and coming. Vietnam is up and coming. Philippines is still up and coming. Maybe Cambodia is up and coming. Japan is a has-been. And, you know, even Korea, I think Korea isn't really interesting anymore. I think Korea is kind of getting over the peak now. I mean, Korea has had a great had a great first decade of the 2000s. But, you know, I personally don't like Korea that much.
Yeah, most reports I've heard from Korea have been kind of negative. People said that the money is good, but the schools don't always follow through on their promises, and socially it doesn't feel that positive or friendly in Korea.
I mean, Korea is known for being xenophobic, so it's one thing if you're Korean American or you're some kind of Korean, but if you're black or you're white, I don't know how about if you're Chinese or if you're some other Asian, I don't know, but I think that a lot of Koreans are more xenophobic than other Asians. Now, I've read and heard and even sensed from my visits that it's not as xenophobic as it used to be because it's opening up more to tourism and they're trying to attract people to come there. But still, for example, if you're dating a girl in Korea, you might have problems even with her brother or maybe with her family. There's a bigger chance that you're going to have problems with her circle than you will in a place like, say, Taiwan. Also, a lot of Korean women, I think, are just not open to dating foreigners. There's always, you know, exceptions, but I think the percentage of people there who don't want to date non-Koreans is much higher than it is in other countries. You know, I mean, people who want to date, who are open dating non-locals there, the percentage is lower than mm-hmm. most Asian countries. So if you want to date, it might be more challenging there than a lot of the other countries in Asia, mm-hmm. you know.
So what about age differences? I mean, if a guy is older, can he get younger women in Asia? And if so, which countries?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, age is it's an important factor. Like, if you want to date young women, it really helps a lot to be young. You know, it really does. But having said that, my experience is that some countries are more accepting of age differences than others.
Mm-hmm. Like which ones?
I think that in the Philippines and even Thailand, that say if you're in your 30s and you won't have much problem dating young girls, really you won't. Like if you're in your 30s and you want to date early 20s girls, I think there's really not much of a barrier. If you're in your 40s and you look youthful, same thing, you can still do it. You know, there's certain girls who won't date you because, you know, you're too old. But if you're youthful and you have a youthful personality and you're fun, you know, the age gap can be mitigated to some extent. Now in Korea or Taiwan, it depends on the girl. I don't want to speak about Korea because I really don't know, but on Taiwan, there are certain girls that'll be open to that, but it's just it's a small subset. You know, some girls won't even date a guy over 30 in Taiwan, you know, if they're college age. In China, again, China is so vast and diverse, it really depends. Now, I want to say there's another strategy you can play. If you're really an older guy, if you're really much older, and I think then you have to use, like, you have to be willing to have a relationship where there's, you know, where maybe your material status is part of the package. Like, say you're really much older and you still want to date very young girls. You can go to a country like the Philippines. You can find very nice, sweet, poor girls who will date you and be nice to you and be good to you. They might be 20, 30 years younger than you, say the 30 years, or you just look much older. You look like that girl I mentioned earlier. I told you about that very pretty girl who married a much older guy. That's doable in the Philippines. I see plenty of guys in the Philippines with much younger women. I'm talking about foreigners. But even in the Philippines, I mean, if you look at the regular people, if you look at Filipinos, usually they're of similar age. They're not a big, there's not a big age difference. I'm just saying that it's very doable, that Filipinos are less detail conscious. They're more accepting. Like, they're more accepting of age differences. That's definitely the case.
They're not as judgmental. They care more about a guy being a good person and nice and kind.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I just don't want to put unrealistic expectations into people's heads. If you're elderly and you go to the Philippines, you're going to have to use some material advantage to get very young girls. They're not going to just date you and not care at all. I mean, there's exceptions, but I'd say 80-90% of girls are going to think you're too old. I mean, if they're 18 to 22 and you're in your 60s, come on. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's going to be very, very challenging, and there's only going to be certain girls who will accept you, and they're probably going to expect some financial help, right?
Right, right.
That's realistic. But what about guys? What if you're willing to date a 30-something?
Yeah, that's fairly young too.
Much easier, right?
Right.
Or if you if you're only in your 40s, then it's doable. But if you're if you're 45 and you want to date a 22-year-old, do you think you could do that in America?
No.
I mean, you'd have to really be rich.
But yeah, or high status or something.
Yeah, you'd have to have something. But in the Philippines, it's doable. You know, there's going to be a fair percentage of girls, even girls who are middle class, who might still date you, especially if you look good. I mean, some 45-year-olds look terrible. Some 45-year-olds look pretty good. It
right.
really depends on, how well you take care of yourself and your personality. Do you have a really serious personality, or are you funny and outgoing? You know, mm-hmm. I've met girls who told me that their husband or their boyfriend, when they first saw them, they said, I would never date that guy. He's too old. He's too ugly. But he won me over with his personality. He won me over with his charm.
Yeah, I've heard of those too.
I'm just telling you, Filipinas they're amazing. I mean, I met a girl who basically, she had a problem with her, like this, her boyfriend from 2 or 3 years. I guess he hit her or something. So she was open to dating. But then this guy kind of apologized and everything, and she got back with him. Guess what? This guy was much older. He was fat. He was ugly. And she was quite attractive. I'll show you her picture. She was only 25. She loved him. She still loved him. And this guy didn't have any money. He was a Filipino guy. He didn't have any money. She just loved him. I've seen that several times in the Philippines. How do you explain that? How do you explain that the girl just loves the guy?
Yeah, some girls are like that. They're just nice and kind and
the
you know,
guy
they
had
have
nothing.
A good
I mean,
heart.
He wasn't tall. He wasn't attractive. He was fat. He didn't have money. He was much older. You know, so for all those people who say that, you know, all girls are the same, they all follow the same pattern, they all follow the same formula, absolutely incorrect in my experience. There's plenty of exceptions. You just have to find
Yeah,
them.
I would agree. And, you know, I'd also add that even if you don't think your Filipinas are very attractive or you think you're not into Asian women, I mean, once you go to Asia, I mean, the taste is acquired. I mean, you actually develop a taste. You can grow a taste. Like, I didn't think I would be attracted to Filipinas either, but after I went to the Philippines, I mean, it became an acquired taste. I started appreciating them and liking them a lot more.
I mean, I'll be honest. You know, for me, I have to cherry pick because I like taller girls. I like, you know, for me, most Filipinas aren't really attractive because if nothing else, they're small. But I can find, there's, you know, the girl that I like now, she's 5'10". She's 5'10".
Right. Yeah. Wow.
That's a Filipina. And, you know, you've seen me with tall girls. I mean, there's some tall girls there. At least, you know, 5'6", 5'7". Even Taiwan, even, you know, before I went to university, I thought Chinese girls were weird looking. I thought they looked like they were from another planet. Because in my high school, we didn't have Chinese girls. When I went to university, after watching them for about a year, mm-hmm. I started to see the beauty in Chinese girls, in Taiwanese girls. And then I was like open to going to Taiwan. And then like if you go to the Philippines long enough, you'll start to see something in them too. So yeah, a lot of things are acquired taste. You have to get used to them.
Right, yeah. So that's something to keep in mind. Now what about looks? I mean, in Asia, are women as judgmental about looks or as picky about looks?
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say that I think that looks is less of an impediment than age. Because if you're a very average looking young guy, say if you're in your 20s, even if you're in your 30s, you look good. A lot of girls will be totally accepting of you, even hot girls. You know, I've seen this, you know, like if you're an average, or even say a slightly below average looking Western guy, you know, you can have a lot of chances with much more attractive women. They won't judge you as much by your height or your looks as they do here.
I'd say
looks is less of an impediment than age. You know, I said even age can be mitigated, but looks can even be mitigated to a higher extent. Now, if you're morbidly obese, okay, you know, try and get that solved first. You know, if there's something wrong with you that you can solve the problem before you go, because of course people still care about those things, but they're not the issues like you imagine them to be, right?
Yeah, in Taiwan, I mean, I've seen so many nerdy-looking guys that aren't even good-looking with very attractive girls. I mean, you can see that everywhere, even at the mall. I mean, we've seen them together when we were in Taiwan.
Yeah, I think that on average, Taiwanese guys are not as attractive as Taiwanese girls. You know, it's just, you know, you go to certain countries, the men are better-looking. You go to other countries, the women are better-looking. Northeast Asia, the women are definitely better-looking than the guys on average, right?
Right.
The guys all look the same. No, I shouldn't say that, but now I want to talk about something else that you haven't brought up, and that's race and ethnicity. And again, like age, it does matter. There are certain countries where you go and your race is going to be held against you. That's the reality. The good news is there are other countries where you will be liked for your race. For example, an Indian friend of mine, I don't want to say his name, if he goes to a country like Thailand, he might have a lot of problems because, you know, Indians aren't so popular there. But the same guy, he went to Sweden and he did really well in Sweden. I mean, he met in like the course of a few months, he met like five different, I mean, when I say he met, I mean, he dated and he got intimate with five different very attractive Swedish girls who thought he was somewhat exotic. Okay. Now, what if you're a black guy? You know, if you're a black guy, again, there's countries you go to where a lot of people won't date you because you're black, but there's other countries where people will seek you out because you're black. Where, say, if you're white, they wouldn't notice you. If you're black, they're gonna come to you. And even in countries where they don't like black guys, there's like a subset of girls who might be into black culture, who might be interested in black guys. So if I was a black guy, man, I'd probably be in Germany. I'd be in.
Or Brazil, they seem to do well in Brazil.
Well,
or somewhere.
No. I think it's in Brazil. It's actually better to be white because the blacks in Brazil, they tend to be like from. I mean, skateboard Stefan will back me up on that. If I was white, I wouldn't go to Brazil. I mean, if I was black, I wouldn't go to Brazil. I would go to places where black people are kind of exotic and sought out. I've seen so many German girls, even hot German girls, who love black guys. I mean, I've seen very average black guys with really hot white women from Europe, certain European countries. So if you're a black guy and you go to the right country, oh my gosh, you know, oh my gosh. Now, if I was like Winston, I'd be in China, I'd be in Thailand, I'd be in places where Asian guys are, Asian American guys are.
Would Asian American guys do well in Asia?
I think they do. I think Asian American guys have an advantage over white guys in places like Thailand. I'm not talking about the Northeast. I'm not the Northeast, the poor Northeast Thailand girls. I'm talking about the middle Thais, the central Thais, the higher class Thais. The higher class Thais would probably be more comfortable with a Northeast Asian guy like you or a repatriate than they would be with a white guy. Because with a white guy, people are going to be saying, you know, what kind of girl is with him? You know what I mean? They might question it a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's my.
There's a more negative stigma.
There's a stigma with, even in the Philippines, there's some stigma with white guys. I hate to say that, but you know, sometimes there's a stigma with white guys. White guys are known to take cheap prostitutes. Unfortunately, a lot of white guys do that and they give us a bad name. But you can overcome that. I mean, we have several guys on the forum who've married nice Filipina girls. So,
Where in Asia is good for an Asian American? I mean, where else besides Thailand? I mean, what about China, Taiwan?
I think the Philippines is fine. You know, a lot of Japanese and Korean guys do. I don't know about Cambodia. I don't know much about that.
Vietnam, China, Taiwan.
Vietnam is fine. China's fine. Where else?
But not Korea, of course. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think I don't know about Korea. I mean, it's almost, I don't know what it's like for a non-Korean Northeast Asian there. I don't know. You'd have to ask someone like Z Boy or.
Yeah.
The broader point I think Winston and I are trying to make here is that no matter what your race is, you can find a good place for yourself. No matter what your personality is, you can find a good place for yourself. You have to find a place that likes you and that you like. And I think for most guys, it's doable. But you do have to do your homework and research. And maybe you'll go to a place and you'll find out it's not what you expected. And, you know, you have to go to another country. Fine, you know, just keep moving on until you find a place that clicks with your soul. And, you know, there's another element we haven't talked about that you should talk a little bit about. That's spirituality, right?
Right.
Because some countries are great to seek out a spiritual life too, right?
Right.
And that's something we don't talk much about on the forum. I mean, spiritual topics get brought up on the forum, but we don't talk about like a spiritual happier abroad, like going to Tibet, for example, or going to India.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a topic worthy of exploration, I think.
Yeah,
and it
would
be a lot better than complaining about American women.
Yeah, I would think if you want to be spiritual, you could find a spiritual teacher or a Buddhist monastery or ashram in India. Or,
yeah.
It's always available in India.
You know.
Plus, I was told that like a Buddhist monk or something is actually respected in Asia. People will actually give him money while he travels or walks and feed him. You know, whereas in America, being a Buddhist monk would be out of place. It doesn't fit into the culture in any way, into the business consumer culture. But in Asia, people respect Buddhist monks, and they will feed them and give them money if they see them.
Yesterday, you know, Winston and I went to Sweet Tomatoes, it's a buffet place, and we saw a whole table of Tibetan monks, and they really looked out of place there. It just looked bizarre seeing them there. But in Asia, they would look really normal. And if you're a monk and you're traveling around Asia, I think you're going to get a lot of support
and respect.
Are they definitely going to respect you in Thailand and you know, even in China, they're going to respect you. A lot of people are going to respect you then.
Yeah, and plus, if you're a Buddhist, I mean, there's so many Buddhist TV stations in Asia, whereas in America, I mean, it's probably hard to find any. I mean, there's a lot of Christian TV stations in America, but there's not a lot of Buddhist stations. Like in Taiwan, there's so many Buddhist stations on cable.
Yeah, I mean, I have to flip through them every time I turn on my cable. I think that in Asia, there's definitely a lot of option for somebody who wants to seek out spirituality. And also, if you want to pursue, say, the martial arts.
Oh, yeah.
I read Steven Seagal's story. You know,
yeah, he went to Japan, didn't he?
He spent decades in Japan, if I understand right. And I think that's where he learned all of his skills. So people go to Thailand to learn Muay Thai. And there's a lot of foreigners who get really good at that in Thailand. And I think that, like, in the Philippines, you know, if you're interested in Catholicism or even being a Christian, I mean, even a Christian is going to be very well accepted in the Philippines. I mean...
Well, it's a Catholic country, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be... Yeah, you're going to feel very comfortable there. You're going to be able to find people to pray with. You're going to find people to go to church with and have prayer meetings to study the Bible with. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, and plus... Yeah, so I guess you could have a better spiritual life overseas, like in Asia, too.
Yeah, because...
especially since the cost of living is lower, it gives you more time to be spiritual.
It does.
So it's not just about the women or the social life or the dating, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if you're a Christian, like in Taiwan, there's still enough people. There, you know, in Taipei has several Christian churches. You can... you can have that lifestyle in a place like Taiwan. I don't know about China, but I know in developed Asia, like in Korea especially, I think 25% of Koreans are some kind of Christian. There's Christian churches all mm-hmm. over Seoul. I don't know if you realize that or not.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Koreans in Philippines that are Christians and trying to witness and hand out tracts. And now,
go ahead.
I was going to ask, so what about racism in Asia? I mean, is there racism against white people or black people? And also, would most Asian women date a white guy or a black guy? Or?
Well, I think we talked about a little bit of this. Like I said, in Korea, mm-hmm. it's more challenging to be a non-Korean. In some countries, you know, there are certain girls who actually like white guys or even like black guys. But let's talk about the kind of racism that you see in like some parts of the world, like say in Russia or the US, where it can be violent, it can be very confrontational. Asians are very live and let live. That's what mm-hmm. I like about Asia. For example, no matter what your race is, people tend to leave you alone. And it's not just about race, it's about lifestyle. Gay people have a great time in Asia because they're accepted. Even lady boys are accepted. Mm-hmm. You know,
in Philippines and Thailand, yeah.
In Thailand, very much so. But you know, even Chinese people, they're very live and let live. They don't call you names. They don't criticize you. They leave you alone. If you're gay, that's your business. You know, just don't, you know, force me to, you know, they're very live and let live. That's what I like about Asians. In general, they let you do your own thing. It's very free. You know, you feel like you have a lot more freedom. I mean, people complain about how they drive in Asia, but, you know, I'm the opposite, because when I drive in America, all of a sudden, if I break one little rule, somebody's honking at me or swearing at me. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I drive in Taiwan, nobody ever says anything. Nobody ever complains. You know, everybody just does their own thing and it works. As long as you don't do something too blatant, or, you know, if you park in a certain place or say there's nobody at this intersection, you run a red light, nobody cares. You know, whereas in America, everybody, they have like a, they have a fit about it if they catch you breaking one little rule or one little law. And that just makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. I like a free social environment. I like it where people just leave you alone.
Right.
And that's the, and I'm talking specifically Asia here. I'm not talking about the whole world, because every, we're talking about Asia. Asia tends to be very live and let live.
Uh-huh. Do you think most women in Asia are open to dating white guys, or what about black guys?
I haven't taken a survey, or I haven't done the stats, but my anecdotal evidence would suggest, or my anecdotal experience would suggest it. Let's go country by country. Name a few countries, and I'll tell you what my.
Well, let's say China, Taiwan, Philippines,
okay,
Thailand.
In China, I met plenty of girls who did not want to date foreigners, who only wanted to date Chinese, because the reason was, they said that, you know, we're too different culturally, we're too different value-wise, we do things differently. That was their attitude.
Right.
But I met plenty of girls in China who were open to dating whites, blacks.
So there's always a subset.
There's a subset. I just don't know exactly how big the subset is. I don't know in China whether 30% of women would not date foreigners, or 20% or 40%. I don't know the number.
What about Taiwan and Philippines?
Taiwan, I would say, in Taiwan, the number who will date foreigners, the percentage is very high, very high. I think as long as you have the right qualities and qualifications, they're not going to discount you just because you're white. Now, black, I don't know. Maybe for blacks, there's going to be a higher percentage who say, I don't want to date a black guy, or I don't want to date a dark-skinned guy. Because, you know, in Taiwan, there's some stigma against dark skin,
right?
Especially Southeast Asians, because the people who work in factories or who work as caregivers tend to be from a few Southeast Asian countries and tend to have dark skin. So there's somewhat of a stigma with dark skin in Taiwan. But there's still a very high percentage of girls who would date a black guy if the guy's, you know, if he looks the way they like, if he's the right kind of personality, character, if everything else. I just don't know what that percentage is. I would say it's definitely over half, at least in Taipei. Mm-hmm. Definitely over half, if he's the right kind of black guy.
And Philippines is probably the easiest, since it seems like it's multicultural. There's so many different ethnicities.
I'm going to tell you, I've met a fair number of Filipina girls who say they wouldn't want to date an Indian guy or wouldn't want to date a black guy. Uh-huh. Okay, but there's plenty of other girls who will date a black guy.
Right, right.
I mean, it's all a numbers game. Whatever you are, there's no way everyone's going to accept you. There's always going to be certain people who don't like you. In the Philippines, I've met girls who are into Korean guys, and they don't want to date a white guy.
Right.
And I've met girls in the Philippines who don't want to date a non-Filipino. Right. I don't know what the numbers are, but I would say that the percentage of girls open to foreigners in the Philippines is high, among the middle classes, because you know, a lot of Filipinos come to America, and they don't necessarily just have to date a Filipino guy. They could date, you know, as long as you're the right kind of guy, it's not necessarily going to matter.
Yeah, there's like something for everyone there in terms of dating.
Yeah. I mean, some countries you're going to feel like overwhelmingly everyone doesn't want to date you. Kind of like we feel in America. Mm-hmm. Maybe Korea is like that. I don't think the Philippines is like that. I don't think Taiwan is like that. You know, if it's only a matter of your race, mm-hmm. right?
So what's it like to be a white guy in Asia? I mean, do you get positive treatment, negative? I mean,
that's been discussed
what's
before.
It like?
That's been discussed, and I think that if you're the kind of white guy who doesn't like to be treated differently, you're not going to like Asia. Like, I think Ladislav complains about the way he was treated in Japan. Right. He doesn't like being treated differently. Because Asians, of course, you're different. You're not an Asian. You're not a Japanese. You're not a Taiwanese. They're going to treat you differently. But guess what? I mean, in my case, I've been positively discriminated against more than negatively in Taiwan. I've gotten more benefits than negatives for being American, for being white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Taiwan, what they'll say is, if something's wrong, they'll say, oh, well, that's the way it is for them. Are you still have memory?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're very sensitive and you want to be treated like everyone else, maybe you better go to Latin America, because you're never going to totally localize in Asia. You're never going to be a Filipino. You're never going to be a Taiwanese. You're never going to be a Chinese. You're never going to be a Thai. If you're white, you're always going to be some kind of a foreigner. It's just whether or not you can accept that place in society or not. And in some countries, like in the Philippines, I think it's more beneficial to be a white than it is to say to be a white in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's more negatives with being white in Thailand than there is in the Philippines. You know, they see more of the negative side of you than they would in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So overall, it's mostly positive.
Yeah, I would say in Taiwan, it's quite positive because, you know, historically, America and Taiwan were really good friends, and America was mm-hmm. a country that helped Taiwan out against China. And so the relation between America and Taiwan historically has been good. And,
right.
And so I think Taiwanese, you know, they always call us foreign friends. They used to call us American friends. Mm-hmm. That's a positive.
So you haven't experienced discrimination of any kind?
Or? Well, give me an example of discrimination.
Like being, you know, shut out or treated like not as well as the locals?
I mean, I'm an outsider in some ways, but I've never been uh-huh. like shut out. Oh, you're a foreigner, you're not allowed or something. No,
right.
Not like that. But
that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, You probably know a little bit about this because you've been in Taiwan too, and you kind of know what's going on there.
Yeah, but it's just nice to hear it from your perspective.
Yeah,
you know,
from my perspective.
First-person perspective.
I've always been happy as a foreigner there. I've never felt bad because I'm a foreigner. I mean, if girls wouldn't date me because I was a foreigner, then I would feel bad. But
right.
if you know, it's not like that, so it's fine. And like I said, if you're the kind of person, you know, who is uber-sensitive about being treated differently because you're a foreigner, maybe you shouldn't go to Taiwan. Maybe you shouldn't go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should go to Colombia. Maybe you should go to Dominican Republic and localize. Guess what? Once you speak Spanish like the locals, they're probably going to treat you like a local, if that's
yeah.
what you want.
Or maybe Eastern Europe or Ukraine
yeah.
or
well,
Russia.
Well, yeah, if you're white, yeah. if you're very white, you can go to Russia or you can go to the Ukraine. And over time, I guess you can probably localize.
Right.
Right, once you get the language really good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a minority, and you go to Russia or Ukraine, that might be a different case. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've experienced that.
But I mean, you listen to everything we're saying here. It's all about custom solutions. It's all about tailor making things to yourself. You know, it's, happier abroad is not one size fits all. It's not go to the Philippines. Some people will hate the Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah, most people I know like the Philippines. At least they like the dating in the Philippines. They don't like, they might like the not like the food or the air quality, but they
like
I
said, you know, there's a lot of cheap flights that go from the Philippines to other countries, so you can always get a break from that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You don't have to come all the way back to America. You can go to Taiwan. You can go to China.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's,
yeah.
I mean, if you work it out right, you could get a round trip for like $150 Cebu Pacific. Or you could go to Thailand for maybe, I don't know, maybe $200 round trip.
Yeah, and if you book early on Cebu Pacific, yeah, it's even less. I've seen flights from Taiwan, I mean, from Philippines to Taiwan for like $20
You know,
if you order.
I flew from Manila to Taipei for 1,000 pesos.
Yeah, like 25 yeah. bucks.
It was just,
I've seen that before. Yeah. I've shown that to you on Cebu Pacific's website. Mm. Now, what about like the language barrier in Asia? How did you conquer that? I mean,
yeah,
without speaking the language.
That's important, you know. You know, some people like Ladislav will tell you, don't learn the language. You'll be happier just speaking English, and that's what they expect you to do in places like Japan or Thailand. But I would say I don't really agree with that. I think that if you're going to spend a long time in one country, you should learn whatever language that is. With some exceptions, like in the Philippines, I'm more on the fence, because in the Philippines, it's so easy to meet really good English speakers.
Yeah, because English is the native language there.
It's one of the, yeah. Now, if I spoke Tagalog or if I spoke Visayan, I'm sure my experiences would be even, I would have more good experiences or richer experiences. But even without English, I mean, without local language, I'm okay in the Philippines. However, if I was in Thailand, I mean, you really should learn Thai. If you're in China, you need to learn Chinese. If you're in mm-hmm. Japan, you got to learn Japanese. I mean, that's the reality of Asia. If you don't mm-hmm. learn the local language, you're going to be in this foreign expat bubble. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience 20% of what you could experience if you learn the language.
Can't you just find an English-speaking girl in Asia?
You can, but you know, I've noticed like sometimes for me personally, the best girls, like in Taiwan or in China, are the girls who don't speak English. Not
right, because they're not as westernized.
Yeah, and you know, Moncro agrees with that. If you're going to be in a country, why not learn the language, right? I mean, you did that in Russia, right?
Yeah.
You know, I did that in Taiwan. I mean, Ladislav did that in Japan and in Thailand, and he did that even in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Personal bias is you're going to learn the local language if you really have time there. And when I say a lot of time, I mean, say, at least 3 years, 2 or 3 years or more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, it'll help with job opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
It'll help you with job opportunities. I mean, my job, my main job in Taiwan, where I made most of my money, I needed my Chinese. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it without Chinese.
Yeah, fortunately, nowadays, you can just put a language translator into your smartphone, and it'll translate a lot of words for
you. Yeah,
you
can learn
faster
that way. But if you want to speak English, then stick with countries like Jamaica and the Philippines and Hong Kong and Singapore, South Africa maybe, Kenya,
right.
Uganda, Cameroon. No, not Cameroon. I mean Ghana.
Or Germany. They speak really good English
in
Germany.
Now, yeah. A country like Germany, I would learn German. It's still, you know, Norway, my gosh, English, but still it's better to speak Norwegian, you know?
Yeah.
It's just some countries, even though it's not their language, they speak it really well for some reason, especially Germanic mm-hmm. countries.
So what if a guy is, like, really shy? I mean, would he, I mean, does he have to be more outgoing, or
yeah, you know,
would he open up in Asia? Or,
you know what
or?
I noticed? You know, there's, like, every country you go to, there's a certain kind of expat. Like, if you go to Hong Kong, at least before, what I noticed was the expats there tended to be high flyers. They tend to be career people who are making really high salaries. If you go to Thailand, there's a lot of degenerates. I hate to say that, but there's a lot of degenerate foreigners there.
Yeah.
Tattoo guys.
Yeah, lower quality.
If you are an introverted kind of person who likes to read and be kind of quiet and shy, Taiwan's a pretty good place. I've seen a lot of that type in Taiwan, and they seem to fit in well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, let me think of another example. If you're a serial dater, if you
kind of like a playboy type.
Yeah, you know? Maybe the Philippines is good.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but...
They're more accepting of playboys in the Philippines.
They're you know why? Because a lot of Filipino guys do that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not loss of face, you know. Even if you know you have another girl, the girl doesn't lose face. Although I will say this, a lot of the quality girls I've met in the Philippines, if they find out you're cheating, you're done. They're gonna basically X you out. They're not gonna date you anymore. Just keep that in mind. A lot of the quality girls expect you to be faithful.
Right.
It's not like you can cheat on any girl there.
Yeah, but it seems more accepting to cheat there. Like your girlfriend there will forgive you more than than they would in America.
I want to say one more thing. Very entrepreneurial types of white guys and foreigners, I think they do well in China. There used to be at least a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities in China. So guys who kind of want to make their own money and doing something really different or creative, China might be a good environment for that. Because China's got so many market opportunities, at least in the past. So my point is, you ask a question, what if you're introverted? And my answer is, you can't just talk about Asia as one unit. You have to look at it, you have to segment it and see which part of it fits you. If you're introverted, Taiwan might be good. If you're introverted, maybe Japan is good. Mm-hmm.
But don't shy guys open up in foreign countries if people are friendlier too? I mean,
well, in their own way. I mean, like, I was shy and I went to Taiwan and I opened up in my own way, but it doesn't mean I became the life of the party. I'm still shy.
But do you meet girls by going out and meeting them, or do they approach you too?
Yeah,
or
yeah. This is another thing. You know what I did when I was in Taiwan?
Mm-hmm.
I started like overcoming my shyness by approaching strangers, by approaching girls on the street and in public places, because for me it was like something I'd never been able to do before. I couldn't even talk to girls, and all of a sudden I was approaching girls and they were being nice to me.
Yeah, so you just go up to them, ask directions, and then carry a conversation
from
there, right?
I would go up to them and say whatever, but one thing that really helped was they were like, oh, you speak really good Chinese, and they don't expect you as a foreigner to speak really good Chinese. So that was like, it was like an icebreaker.
Uh-huh.
Just because I spoke Chinese, sometimes they were curious about that. And they were like, how did you learn to speak Chinese? Why do you speak Chinese? Wow, that's impressive that you speak Chinese. And then that would open a door to some more conversation. What do you do? What kind of work do you do? Where do you go to school?
Right.
Hey, what do you think of this? What's your horoscope?
Yeah.
What kind of people do you like?
I experienced that in Russia, too. When I spoke Russian, they would get curious and start asking me questions.
Yeah, because in Russia, you're very different.
Yeah.
You're exotic. And, you know, even though you were a foreigner, you spoke Russian. I mean, you weren't a local foreigner. You were a tourist foreigner.
Right.
But my point is, in Taiwan, basically no white guys are local. And there's virtually no local white guys in Taiwan, right?
Right.
Same goes for Korea, same goes for Japan. It's very rare to find a native white guy in those countries. Mm-hmm. So as a white person, by default, you're a tourist, you're a visitor. And so if you speak the local language, it stands out. Same for a black guy. Same for a black guy.
So did you have to work hard to meet women, or was it easy? I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to work hard. You have to approach... You know, you see a girl you like, you approach her, you talk to her.
I mean, don't they approach you, or does it come naturally? Or?
People would look at me sometimes, but nobody... They didn't approach me much. Once in a while, somebody would ask me something in English. But no, I mean, it's not like people would approach me. I had to... The onus was on me to approach others. And if a girl approached me, she would invariably not be the girl I liked. It wouldn't be the one I was interested in. It would be someone who's not attractive to me or who's not interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So, but it's still easy in that it's easier than in America. It feels more friendly.
Yeah, because in America, what's my excuse for approaching someone in America? It's definitely, I want a date. That's it. But in Taiwan, I could say, hey, you know, I'm fairly new here, and I'd like to have a cultural exchange. I'd like to exchange language. I'd like to make new friends. And I'd just like to know you better. And it's not, I mean, making friends, there's no stigma attached to that.
Right. So they're not as paranoid toward you. Like in America, if you ask the girl the time, she might tell you the time, but then you know, she'll be in a rush to go, you know, because she doesn't want to stick around and yeah. talk to you or get to know you, you
Unfortunately,
know.
Unfortunately, you know, Winston, I will say this. I think that now it's harder than it used to be. Like there's
in Taiwan, you mean?
In Taiwan, yeah. There's more girls who will just say no. They won't talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's changed. I know this from like...
Because they've gotten more spoiled a little bit.
They've gotten more spoiled. They've gotten more exposed to American mentality. And also, the birth rate's gone down. I mean, girls, women don't need men as much as they used to. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gotten more independent economically. Taiwan's moved up the economic scale like the rest of Northeast Asia.
And you said that's always a bad sign when the birth rate goes down. It means women are more materialistic, right?
Well, think about it. Which country in Asia has the highest birth rate? And which country in Asia is probably the easiest to meet women?
Probably Philippines,
yeah,
I think.
In both cases, yeah. I mean... No other country in Asia has the same has a birth rate as high as the Philippines. And no other country in Asia is it as easy to date as it is in the Philippines.
Right. Right.
I mean, you can see that from the dating sites. You can, mm-hmm. And yeah, the haters and the negative guys are going to say, yeah, the Philippines is the poorest country in Asia. Well, no, it's not. What about Cambodia? What about Vietnam? Mm-hmm. What about Papua New Guinea?
Isn't India poorer than the Philippines too?
India is much poorer than the Philippines. And guess what? You try and get a date in India. You go and try. It's harder than America.
Well, yeah, that defeats the argument that only poor and desperate women want to date foreigners. Because in India, I mean, the women are poorer than in the Philippines, but you know they're not. They don't want to date foreigners.
I met a white guy in the Philippines who'd lived in India for 5 years, and he told me it's impossible to date there. Mm-hmm. Even for Indian guys, if you're not part of the right, I mean, like Mankro went. If Macro went there, I don't think he would be able to date. Mm-hmm.
Well, don't they arrange marriages
there?
Yeah,
it's arranged, and you've got to be in the right caste. You've got to be in the right. You've got to be from the right ethnic group. It's complicated. It's very complicated there. Actually, Starchild could probably talk in detail about this.
Right, right.
And maybe he will sometime. But I'm just going to say that, you know, there might be a strong correlation between economic development and dating opportunities, but it's far from absolute. Because I've been to many poor countries. I've been to Haiti. It's easier to date in the Philippines than Haiti. But Haiti is much poorer than the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, that's just one example. But India is an even better example.
Yeah, so it's also about culture, not just about economics.
It is, it is. And culturally, the Philippines is really an anomaly. It's an Asian country that has a Spanish influence and a strong American influence. And it's a very open, you know, it's a very easygoing country.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of guys who are misfits or who have eccentric personalities, they like the Philippines a lot because, I mean, it feels like everybody fits in there. You're not judged, and so you feel very soothing there. It soothes your soul.
What was the name of
there,
that chess player?
It was Bobby Fischer, right?
Bobby Fischer spent the tail end of his life in the Philippines.
And he was very eccentric.
Yeah. You know, it's too bad. You know what would be ideal is if you could have the Philippine character and personality in the bodies of the Ukrainian and Russian women. Wouldn't that be
And
ideal?
The Taiwanese, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be Taiwanese. The perfect world.
Yeah. But anyway, don't worry about it because there's some decent-looking girls in the Philippines. There's even some...
Yeah. You've dated girls in the Philippines that are educated. They're not all uneducated.
I've dated several girls. I dated one girl who was she was working in a marketing company. Mm-hmm. And she was very career oriented, but she was still nice to me. She mm-hmm. still hung out with me.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're living proof that the stereotype is not true, that they're all poor and desperate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, none of these girls would, even if a guy wanted to give them money, they would say no. They would. Mm-hmm. They're too proud for that. They wouldn't take it. What do you say to that? I mean, yeah, there's a huge percentage of Filipino girls who would be happy for a free ride, but you don't have to date those girls.
Right, you have choices.
And I've even met poor girls who are too proud to accept that. Some poor girls are very honorable and they don't want outside mm-hmm. help. And they'd rather struggle themselves than to take money from mm-hmm. some guy who pops into their life.
So in the Philippines, do you go out and approach the girls or do they approach you? Or how do you meet them? Usually you're on the internet?
Personally, my bias has been, you know, cold approaching in the Philippines. Maybe it's not as easy as Russia.
Right.
Maybe people, because people in the Philippines, sometimes they're a little bit, you know, if you just approach somebody in a mall, and I'm talking about middle class people, they're going to be more suspicious.
Right.
Middle class people tend to be suspicious because, you know, the Philippines has a lot of, poor people, so they tend to be a little bit protective.
Right.
So I've met people online and through friends of friends like that. That's how I met people. Most of the girls I've met have either been online or have been
on dating
friend
sites,
of a friend. Yeah, friend of a friend kind of thing. I've met a handful by cold approaching, but I've not done a lot of cold approaching.
What about just sitting on the bus or in the train or the subway? I mean, do they talk to you next to you?
I don't talk to people. No, personally, me, no.
Yeah.
I think some people, like, I think M Guy and Falcon, they met some girls that way.
But yeah, I have too, yeah.
And you have too.
Or in the jeepney, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
But you know, it's funny you say that, because that's how I met a lot of people in Taiwan that way.
Mm-hmm. On the bus or
on
subway.
On the subway, the MRT, on the street. In the shop, in the restaurant. But, you know, again, I had to be, you know, part of the help, it was good speaking Chinese. That kind of, like, broke their little wall for a second.
Right.
And it gave me a chance to pitch myself, you know, and to show myself to be a decent guy.
Uh-huh.
Enough to maybe get their phone number or their Facebook or something. And
then,
you know, working on the phone, working on Facebook, working in chat, working something that way.
And these women are a lot more feminine, too, aren't they, than in the West?
Asian girls, they're much more feminine. I mean, I think just genetically, Asian women are more feminine. You got to agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes without saying.
Yeah, it goes without
saying. It's just so obvious.
It's like, you know, I don't mean to sound racist, but I think there are differences between races. And, like, if you want to talk about masculinity, black guys are very masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Asian women tend to be very feminine, right?
Right, right. There's definitely that pattern.
There's a pattern, yeah. It's just a fact of life. I mean, you know, you notice so many people, and it's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm just so happy that I discovered this solution so long ago. You know,
yeah, and you should be a great inspiration to those who haven't left America yet.
I'm a guy who suffered
in
so
the
much
same boat
in high school, and I always thought it was my own problem. I always thought that I was a misfit, that something was wrong with me. Because my sister didn't have those problems. I saw other people who didn't have those problems, just I had those problems. And I never could figure out what was wrong.
And a lot of guys think they're the only one because no attention is given to these kind of problems.
Mean, you have the internet, you can see that there are other people like that too, but I didn't have the internet, so I didn't know when I was in high school.
Yeah, exactly. I had the same problem.
But I mean, it's not that life is perfect. You know, when you go overseas, you're going to have plenty of problems, but it's just, it's a step in the right direction. It's a path towards a solution. What we need to do is to be careful. I see so many guys who carry the baggage with them. They come overseas and then all they talk to me about are American women. Or all they do is complain about the American government. And I always just try to tell them, okay, let's stop this and let's talk about how great the opportunity is in this new country, or, you know, how about your new girlfriend? Hey, how about your wife? How about your kids?
But we still need to talk about the problems in America for those people that are suffering in America and don't know that there's a way out. You know, we got to give the message, you know, the good news or the gospel whatever you want to call the happier abroad gospel.
We've talked about spirituality. We've talked about dating. We've talked about friendship. We've talked about a lot. What have we not talked about?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing because we're approaching 2 hours. And
is there anything else we have? Not all I can think of, but we can always come back, you know?
We've covered all the major areas, I think.
Yeah. Again, you guys on the forum, try to focus more on solutions and try to use the resources that are there. Talk to people like Ladislav. Talk to Winston. I mean, these are guys that are not going to... You know, they're generous guys who are just there to help you, and they're not trying to make a buck. They're just there to help you. I mean, why not utilize free resources, you know, if they can be of use to you? There's plenty of cool guys. All the guys I've met on the forum are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, every guy I've met on there, they're good guys.
Yeah, because people who think outside the box and are nonconformists they tend to be more and more interesting and have a lot more to say, and because they have their own mind, they can think, and are not just robots or conformists or zombies.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, if you have any questions for Rock, he's on our forum. So if you go to my website at happierabroad.com, happier with an IER at the end, happierabroad, all one word, happierabroad.com, and then you click on the link to the forum, you can post a question or a message to Rock. And he's on there and a lot, and there's a lot of posts and advice by him and others, of course. But you can go to our message board or forum and, you know, post a question to Rock. I mean, he's on there, so you can, you know, feel free to. I mean, we're a very free speech and open forum where we can discuss truths like this and issues that aren't discussed elsewhere. I mean, the kind of stuff we're talking about is considered really taboo, even in the alternative media, even in the counterculture movement or the conspiracy movement. I mean, they don't talk about this stuff. They don't tell you that you can have a better life overseas in social life, dating, and self-esteem, and mental health, and cost of living. There's just so many good reasons to go overseas, but it's not talked about even in the alternative media. So in our forum, we allow you to talk about these things, whereas in other forums, they probably won't let you talk about these things because it's taboo. You're not supposed to say these things. It's for some reason. The internet, especially in America, is just not ready for this kind of information to be talked about freely. So in that sense, we're kind of ahead of the curve, ahead of our time. So you can come to our forum. Just go to Happier Abroad. Happier, I-E-R, happierabroad.com. And so, Rock, I'm really glad we could do this interview. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and advice and experience.
God bless to everybody.
You're a great inspiration to everyone in our boat.
We're just here to help each other. You know, share the love, right?
Right, and your message is so positive and so useful and so true, you know, so it's just very invaluable. I mean, this is priceless. I mean, so are there any final thoughts you want to share with everyone?
Just good luck and God bless.
Okay. Yeah, well, we hope that you'll heed his advice and listen to this podcast several times if you need to, and share it with your friends, acquaintances, or even family members. And this is the first podcast I've done. I don't usually do this kind of thing, but maybe in the future I'll do some more, and we'll have more guests like Rock who will share interesting advice and wisdom on living overseas and how to find a better life if you're not happy in America or you're a misfit or something. So anyways, if you've listened this far, I thank you for keeping up with us, and we're always here to help you on our forum. If you need any advice or suggestions or just want to talk, and I thank you, and God bless to you, and best wishes to all of you out there for success and happiness. So this is Winston Wu from Happier Abroad, and thanks for listening to our podcast, and this will be the end of my first podcast, and hope you all have a good one. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.